Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
It is, we're getting to the end of summer.
Yeah.
It's still hot.
Still hot, but we get cool days every once in a while, so it's not too bad.
Yeah. No, and hey, yeah, my kiddo had his first day of school yesterday.
Nice.
He is a seventh grader now. The time is flying.
It is. I know. Yes. Soon you'll be looking up to him, son. Well, physically looking up to him, son.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And hey, I turned 45 last weekend. Hey,
congratulations, man. Made it to 45.
Nice, relaxing weekend and didn't do much of anything, which is exactly what the doctor ordered.
Oh, yeah.
Ate about 3/4 of a key lime pie all by myself. As if I needed more inspiration for your little project.
Yeah, there you go.
On. So, all in all, good times.
Good times. All right. Well, we got Renaissance Fair coming up. We've been helping fix up a booth for the Renaissance Festival here in Kansas City. And it's just been humid.
Yeah.
And, you know, you step out of the car, sweat. This is going to be fun.
This kind of the problem that the Kansas City Renaissance Festival runs for 7 weeks, and it seems to straddle the seasons. Like, the first couple weekends are always ungodly hot. And
the last couple can be
pleasant
and sometimes cold.
Mm-hmm.
But they're almost always humid. All the way through, pretty much.
That's Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's kind of humid all the time.
But, yeah. But here we go. Another season. 7 weekends out there. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in again with us. Great to have you here with us. We appreciate each and every one of you. We've gotten a few comments we really appreciate. And I got some to tell you that I learned just last weekend. I think you're going to appreciate in a minute here. But first, you know, thanks for joining us, guys. We have a great time with you. Awesome to see the comments come in. We got somebody sending wine to us now.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Ducharme. And by the way, congratulations, Kyle. So he got married a couple weeks back. And,
yeah. Congrats all the way around.
Good times. I'm real happy for you. Thank you for reaching out. And
yeah.
We will hopefully have some. He wanted to chime in on the smoky meat topic and share some stuff that he's done. So would love to touch base with him and see how he approached that, because
we don't know.
Work starting from zero.
Yeah. I will gladly take advice from a meat master.
Wrote speculation on
that. So. Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. Also, we need to thank Box and Barleycorn,
mm-hmm.
as always.
They are our sponsor and have been since we got this thing back up and running. And, you know, we really appreciate working with them. It's great working with a small business. It's great working with a business that has been doing this whole home fermentation thing for as long as they have, going on 60-ish years.
Yeah, they can seek 60 closer than 55 at this point.
Yes. And they, as far as for the home brewer, you know, they've got the equipment, they've got the supplies, they've got the ingredients, they've got the background and the recipes and the passion. So it's not just, you can order all kinds of stuff from any online store. Not all of them can you pick up a phone and be like, hey,
I need help.
Yeah. Or I'm looking for something to do X. What do you got?
Yeah. I mean, if you call anybody that you order a kit from, I'll be willing to bet you at least half, probably more, would say, oh, I'd sell the kit. I don't do this.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
But anyway, I also want to tell you, I went to a couple of events last weekend.
Sure.
Went to the Midsummer Fantasy Market, which is the first year they did it. It was a little market they had in Lenexa.
Okay.
People dressed up, a lot of Renaissance Festival fantasy characters. Good times. A lot of fun. While we were there, a couple people said, you sound like the guys from Meat House. Well, I would sound like half the guys from Meat House.
It's fun that we get recognized by voice.
Yeah, it really is. Cool. But they go, yeah, but you know, I was thinking about starting me. I said, okay, what are you starting with? And he goes, I don't have equipment. I said, who do we keep saying? They said, Box and Barleycorn. I said, just down the street. It's just that way.
Yeah.
And they go, I mean, I know they sponsor you, but yes, they sponsor us because we truly believe in them or we wouldn't have gotten their sponsors.
Right.
They wouldn't have offered if they didn't think they had value. We really do. That's where we go.
This is a two-way street. They appreciate what we do for the community, and we appreciate what they do for, you know, being able to provide homebrewers with quality merchandise and good advice.
Yeah, it was great. So she's going to start with Bacchus, not that awesome. Second thing that happened, I went to Yellowbeard's Below Deck Pirate Gathering as my gnome with a pirate hat.
Mm-hmm.
I cut out the top of the pirate hat and stuck it over the gnome hat. Of course, I drove in. People went, oh, there they are. It was awesome. Great people. A lot of people I already knew. Three people came up to me before I got in the door. I've been making mead. I want to send you bottles for your guys' show. Please be brutal. A judge, help me get better.
Okay.
And we're on it. guys, if you're going to send it to us and if you're listening now, yeah, I've just, this is, Jeff didn't know what I was going to say until I just said it, but send the stuff and we will absolutely tell you what we think, how we think you can improve, and what you, how well you've done so far.
You know, we need to talk to Jake, because I'm willing to bet, as a business that's open during the day, they'd be willing to accept mead bottles on our behalf so that we don't have to be publishing our home addresses out on the internet for all to...
or get a P.O. box.
Right. Well, yeah. You can't ship mead to a P.O. box.
Sure, you can't.
We'd have to go to, like, one of what is it, like the UPS store
or something like that.
Get one of their mailbox things and, like... We don't make any money at this.
Yeah, this is not a money-making thing, guys. So, which my friend Ellie Yang from Switzerland, she, why? I'm sitting there because we just love it. And we just love sharing it.
It's fun. I mean,
this is just us being fun. She's a businesswoman. I get it. So, you know, and I appreciate it. But yeah, but we're going to get some people who listen to our program, made some mead and want us to get our input on their meads they made.
Okay.
And so we're on it, guys.
I'm game.
Yeah.
And those of you listening at home, even if you're not in the Kansas City area and want to get some feedback, let's, we should maybe think about this and see if we can get some gold check.
Yeah.
Get a mailbox.
Yeah. Or just, you know, have say for mead house on the model and they'll just put it in the corner that he might have space somewhere.
Ship 2 box and barley corn. Or ship to the mead house, care of box and barley corn.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
But, you know, don't send it there yet.
Right.
Let us get permission.
Yeah. Let us talk. I need to go in and waste a lot of money anyway. Yeah,
well, me too.
That's another part of this hobby. I understand.
Anyway. But, so that's, you know, I was really happy they cornered me outside the event to tell me about that. I mean, one guy, I missed you. Hug me. Stop. I need to tell you something. Okay. It was amazing. All right. Meat of the day. Sap House Meadery. Honeyberry. It's honey wine with honeyberries. Now, mm-hmm. I don't remember honeyberry.
A honeyberry, if I remember right, is a relative of a blueberry. They might also be referred to as hascaps. Let's look this up real quick.
Now, this is supposed to be drier than sweet, like a medium dry. It is a 13.7%.
Yeah. Also called hascaps. Or various honeysuckle names. Blah, 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 blah.
Looks like a large elongated blueberry.
Mm-hmm. Used in pastries, jams, fruit, ice cream, yogurt, sauces, candies, wine.
Produces for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if I remember right, this is honeyberry bushes.
Well, yeah, well, pastries, jams, does you use all kinds of things. The bush is produced for 30 years. That's not shabby.
It looks like it's actually a relative of, or a type of honeysuckle as opposed to a berry bush. But, I mean, this sure smells like blueberry on the nose.
Oh, wow. That's got, it's kind of, it's not as sharp and sweet, but it's got a deeper undertone there to me.
It is a little bit, yeah, kind of earthy too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. No, we didn't tell you. It's a dark red.
Yeah, nice. I wouldn't call it opaque because if you hold it up to a light, you can see through it. But it's a deep, dark kind of ruby or garnet color. And
provided you don't pour too much in a glass, you can see through it too, with light. But yeah, but it's very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's it is dry. It's medium dry to me. Is that accurate?
I would say it's off dry. Yeah, it's high in tannin content, as you would expect from
But it's not harsh tannin. It's very smooth tannin. I mean, you feel it, but it's nice.
It's such a, it's just an even keel kind of smooth drinking.
This isn't good. I mean, this is really good.
I've had Sap House's Honeyberry before, and I remember it being blueberry-like. But mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the acidity is there. It's not sharp or strong. The tannin is very much there, but it kind of smooths everything out the way tannin is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good mouthfeel to it, and it, for being off dry or dry-ish, it has a perception of sweetness to it mm-hmm. as well. That is,
it's also got a really sweet mouthfeel, but not flavor. It feels like it should be sweeter. It might cross my tongue.
It's a little heavy on the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the lingering, like, berry character after you swallow also kind of lends to that as well. It just you ate some fresh berries.
I mean, nice. I really like them. Now I'm going to use honeyberry, damn it.
Well, and we have to find out if honeyberry grows well over here, because I think it's more of an up north kind of a thing than a Midwest sort of a thing, you know? 2 through 6.
We can do it. We can do it here.
Because we're 6B here in Kansas City.
Yeah, we made it. We're good.
No, it, they mentioned it grows, it's more common to find them in northern climes, but we could probably make it work. Just, need to be able to plant them out.
Yeah, we should be okay. Yeah, it's a six. We're squirreling the six zone. Yeah, we're a little close to five, I should say, but we should be able to do it. Oh no, more gardening. Oh, the horror, the horror.
Well,
All
Chris
right.
has a new hobby, or at
Yeah.
least a new goal.
Okay.
Hey, and I heard about something really cool this week too. There is a new product coming out called Nagardo,
Okay.
and the name tells me nothing. But apparently, it's like a foreshortening of Natural Guardian. And we've talked a number of times over the years, the 2 years now that I'm thinking about it, that we've been doing this podcast about needing to stabilize to avoid like bottle bombs, things
Yeah.
like that.
Very important. I mean, yeah, if you don't get the yeast killed, you are risking a lot, including injury.
Now, our preferred method of doing this is the chemical 1-2 punch, the potassium metabisulfite and potassium sorbate.
Yeah.
And the other way you can do this, I've tried it a couple times. I wasn't really impressed by it, but pasteurization works as well.
And my son's done that, and okay, he did it because he didn't want to use potassium nitrate or potassium sulfite. He didn't want to use them, so he used that. And he didn't like doing it. It was complicated. He had to lift bottles into water on the stove, and
You got to maintain temperature evenly and let things cool down. Anytime you're doing that, you're also putting temperature stress on the bottles, which makes them weaker. So if it doesn't work, then
yeah, and
you're
then the mead is altered too.
you get the fruitiness of it turns kind of jammy and not
And maybe not, and
fresh.
no, I've had jammy mead and it was wonderful because it was meant to be jammy. But if it's not what you're looking for, it's not what you get.
Right. Just it's there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
It's not what we're looking for. So
But go ahead.
this Nagardo is a mushroom derivative, and I looked into the science of this, like the how it works and all that, and I'm blanking on it right now. That's not important though. The cool thing is they have basically isolated this from mushrooms so that it kills not only yeast but also various forms of bacteria like Acetobacter and other spoilage organisms and stuff like that. It's FDA approved. And TTB is working on like a regular kind of cycle for use in alcoholic beverages. The
You told me the thing it uses for like fruit juices.
yes, well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
This is a basically it's using a feature of the cells of these single cellular organisms and the way that the mushrooms attack them to basically burst the cell wall and kill them right dead. Even in the middle of fermentation, when the colony is at its strongest, it's
Nice.
really cool.
So that you could use that to have it so it doesn't take all the sugar and you have a sweet mead finish.
So you could leave residual sugar if
Yeah.
you wanted to. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of experimentation to get it right, but yeah, that'd be.
Well, and to be fair, Scott Labs and another company that have been releasing this product in North America have been doing a lot of that. They've been trialing with various industries, including alcoholic beverages,
Okay.
not necessarily for, hey, halting fermentation right in the middle, but to make a shelf-stable product that lasts a long time without affecting the flavor. Because, like we were talking, like you were had alluded to a minute ago, fruit juices, you want those not necessarily treated with harsh chemicals, but you want it to be fruity, flavorful, and last a good time
Yeah, you need
on
to,
shelf.
yeah, you gotta keep it as long as you can.
And if it's sitting on a store shelf for a couple months before you pick it up, it's not been refrigerated, you want to make sure that it tastes as good as it can, even 2 months later after it's been bottled or packaged or
Or
whatever you
even
want.
after you bought it,
Right.
because see, how many times have I bought a bottle of juice, put it in the corner, I forgot that was there 2, 3, 4 weeks later.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have a party and we got, a bottle of soda and we got some fruit juice and we got various beverages and not all of those will even get opened.
Yeah.
So they sit around for a couple months and go, oh, I want something sweet. I'm a little thirsty. I've got this juice.
It's bad. It's happened. It's happened to me.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. It's just the nature of,
If this can stabilize fruit juices, it could also stabilize meads after you finish everything. And you could be a more stable mead at finish.
And they've already been experimenting with this for mead, for cider, for various alcoholic beverages on a commercial scale.
Comma. There's the comma.
Here's the rub. they don't necessarily want to make this for available for sale on the homebrew market. And I think
I think that's a mistake. That's just me because I'm part of homebrew market.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think part of the logic of not releasing it to the homebrew market is the same bottle bomb possibility that we warn you guys about so often. You know, if they put on the label, "We'll kill all yeast," and you got to follow the directions, and you got to follow it to the letter, and you got to dose it correctly with based on the right pH of the product or something like that. And then you screw anything in that up and still get a bottle bomb.
You're gonna be
Are
mad at
they
them.
civically liable for those, for that, for any injury that results from said bottle bomb? Because injury can happen.
Well,
We know that. That's why we warn against it. So I think they're just trying to cut their losses and not make that a thing, right?
By the same token, if there's an understanding that you, if you don't do it right, there could, you know, the risk is still there. Just maybe less of a risk, but it is still there. It's not zero. We think you should push for this. We think wherever you get your supplies from, we're going to bring it up to Box and Barleycorn.
Yes, I'm already sent an email, so
Yeah.
don't worry about Box and Barleycorn if you're shopping with them.
Yeah, we've
I've
talked to him. Well, Jeff has.
right, and I'll probably mention it in person next time I'm in there too. Hey, did you guys get that email I sent you about the cool thing? Just because if I keep bothering them, they know me, they'll understand why I keep bothering them. Having everybody listening to the show call a Box and Barleycorn specifically and bother them, that's just going to bother Box and Barleycorn.
Yeah, and they'll probably be a little bit mad at us.
What we need to do instead, those of you guys that are shopping anywhere else, your local homebrew stores, smaller like online stores besides Box and Barleycorn, talk to your suppliers. Tell them to ask their distributors politely, "Hey,
Would
we
you
get
get
this
this?
stuff." We need a groundswell of people that are interested in this to show that there is a market for this. And I think, honestly, this is how many times I've been part of this hobby for
Little ears.
going on 13 years now.
Yeah.
And no, longer than that, because it has to be in the neighborhood of 14, 15 now.
Yeah. And I'm like 5 years behind you, about roughly.
Thereabouts. So many people I've seen on Facebook, on Reddit, on any kind of social media, little forums on the internet, they hem and haw about putting chemicals in the mead to stabilize it, not wanting to do that. And so many people have gone to the pasteurization idea because,
That's really the only option they have.
yeah, it's the other option to have a stable product.
This is a third option.
And I think this is a good option because even though it's, yeah, are they taking the mushroom and doing a lot of processes in laboratory to it?
Yes.
Yes. Is it still a naturally derived product?
Also, yes.
Is it a long, complicated name that some people have difficulty pronouncing? No.
Really? But the bottom line is, guys, if enough people say, yes, we want this, most manufacturers will say, okay.
We are demonstrating that a market exists for the product.
Yes.
And the more people we can get contacting their various homebrew stores, suppliers, what have you, and saying, "Hey, I would buy this from you if you carried it. Can you talk to your suppliers?" I guarantee every homebrew store in the country works with Scott Labs or has a distributor that works with Scott Labs.
Yeah.
And they're one of the two companies I've seen that are bringing this product to the States.
Now, you mentioned you were going to try to reach out to him personally. Have you done that yet?
I've been talking to Scott Labs. I'm trying to get a handle on getting some of this, and maybe we will see what kind of quantity I can get, if I can get any at all. And that may come down to, "Hey, I know we're a homebrew podcast, but we are technically a business. Let's start a business account, and I'll just buy us a XYZ size package of the stuff from
And
you."
we'll give it a try.
And I'll share some with you because I'm guessing I'm going to be buying in a Costco size
Yeah,
bottle.
probably it's probably gonna be quantity. Yeah, and I appreciate that. No, we can share that cost. That's not a problem for me.
I have no idea what that cost is even going to look like.
But
The lovely lady that I have been speaking with Scott Labs is on vacation through the rest of the week, so
we'll
hopefully
find
I
out.
will hear Monday.
Okay, well, cool. But nonetheless, guys, what's the name again?
Nagardo.
Nagardo. I'm gonna have trouble with this because I'm not great with names. Nagardo, ask your local supplier. Try to see what you can do. See, let's get a little bit of momentum here.
Be polite, but insistent.
Be courteous, be polite, be kind.
What we want is a number of people to say, hey, we would buy this, we would try this, if it was available to us. We just want it to be available to us. I personally have not even gotten to try this yet. I've just gone on a bunch of different websites. I've read the white papers on it, which look very promising. And they've done a lot of trials.
And what we're probably going to do when, if and when Jeff gets this is we'll make two, we'll make one big batch, divide into two bottles. Mm-hmm. One bottle will use our standard practice of the metas, and then the one bottle is going to have this.
Right. And I actually heard about this from, I believe his name is BC. He's on Doing the Most on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He actually did a few different trials, including trying to stop in the middle, and was not perfect. Required a little acid testing. Not everything he tried worked exactly as directed, but he made it work.
Yeah.
And it worked great. And I'm very curious to see if I can do some further work with this as well, because I am also an amateur mycologist, even though I'm not very good at it.
Well, you know, practice, practice, practice.
If I get half a pound of dried mushrooms out of a run, at the end of the day, I consider that a great success on my part, even though that's practically nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, guys, what was that one chemical that it tastes like honey, Unad? It has a honey flavor. You remember that one?
I cannot remember off the top of my head.
We'll try to put in the notes later on. Look it up in the notes later.
Yeah, it's... I've got a big bag of that stuff in my cabinet because honestly, the couple times I tried it, I didn't notice a difference at all.
We have to use on to get that out. But this sound, but you know, that's for a flavoring. This is for
stabilization
and preservation. Because mead, a sweet mead, has a limited shelf life, guys. No matter how well I bottle it, comes a time when it's just no longer good anymore.
The fruitiness stops being quite as fruity. Some of those, and this is not necessarily going to be something that will like help you keep the red color from going kind of brown and oxidizing, things like that. But it's another tool, and a strong tool, it sounds like, in the toolkit. And I want to be able to explore this as a home brewer. I'm sure I'm not the only one who does. So I think we need to take this as an opportunity to just groundswell this and say, hey, let's talk to our suppliers. Let's make sure that we are getting this, we want this product message from multiple fronts.
Yes. And if we can do that, hey guys, that's the power of community. And that's what we're trying to get here.
It really is.
Okay. What I was going to talk about today with you guys is we've talked about how wonderful Bacchus and Barleycorn mead kits are.
Right.
We've gone over this, I don't know how many episodes, because we really like Bacchus and Barleycorn. They're the place we prefer to go. And we've been to a few.
They do sponsor us.
But we went before then.
Are we corporate shills? I don't feel like it. I have a moral, I don't like the idea of taking money from a company just to sell a product, you know? Yeah.
But we actually were active buyers and customers of Bacchus and Barleycorn before we got to this point.
Yes.
Long before we got this show going between the two of us.
Absolutely.
And we were doing such a good job of just making mead, and they liked us enough, they offered to sponsor us. Mm-hmm. Comma. Yes. We decided we'd look into other sources for a mead kit. The kit. Not making the meat. Just the equipment. And what you can get from your equipment, what you can get from the supplier of the kit.
Right.
And here we go.
So I did a quick search on, y'all might accuse me of being a little bit of a hipster, but I use Brave instead of Chrome for my personal thing. So I've got Brave search, even though I'm pretty sure it just rebounds through Google. And the top entry is for Golden Hive. I have opinions about Golden Hive that are not necessarily relevant to this discussion, but looking at the kit, there's a decent start here. We've got it. Is this a plastic or a glass fermenter?
It's like a plastic one, to be honest.
It says glass. Glass fermentation.
I have all these.
It's a 1 gallon wide mouth jar with a plastic lid for a little 3-piece airlock grommet, which is included. There's a hydrometer. There's a test jar. There is a single gallon auto siphon, some siphon tubing, a little like clicky lock thing for the tubing.
So you can turn it off as you're, you know, you can cut off the flow.
Right. Or slow it down as you want. Looks like it comes with a single pack of K1V116 yeast. And you also get, and this is kind of nice, you get some tartaric acid, some potassium sorbate, potassium metabisulfite, malic acid, and some fermented oat. So you get nutrient, you get some acid adjustment if you need it for the end, and you get stabilizing
So
chemicals.
not bad.
No, all in all, it's okay.
And what do you call this gradient?
Test jar.
Test jar. Okay.
Yeah.
But
It's technically it's a graduated cylinder. The test jar is not measured in any way or metered in any way, I should say. But yeah,
it has a test jar.
test jar is jar.
Okay. Now, the only thing we see truly lack, well, one of the major things we truly lack here is a secondary container.
I would like to see a secondary vessel here,
I
yeah.
would love to see a secondary vessel there just so you can rack without buying another kit.
Now, there are add-ons available. You get some brewing ingredient kits for $36, bottling kit for $75. It looks like you get some corks, a little hand corker, and some bottles. There's a mead making recipe guide ebook, which I'm sure are his recipes. You can buy honey, you can buy more yeast, you can buy different yeast,
Yeah, and his honey is 3 pounds for like $26.
which isn't terrible, but it's
Yeah.
not great.
Yeah. Don't know anything about that honey per se, but it's middle of the road cost. It's that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know what goes into the brewing ingredient pack, but I have a feeling it's the chemicals and stuff that come with this here, and man, that feels like a lot for what you're getting. Then again, this whole kit at $90
Yeah.
kind of feels like a lot for what you're getting.
But you know that but that's what it is.
That said, we know he's probably like the most popular TikTok mead guy there
Yes,
is.
yeah, and that's fine. And marks for it. But we really think you should have a secondary. I think you should have I would prefer to have a bottle wand than the clip.
Yes, I would. A bottle wand is great. Oh, he's got a different beginner mead kit for $80 that does
Does have
include a bottle
Does
wand.
have a bottle one. Is that
And
that looks like the only real difference?
the
It has a spigot on the side. The other one have a spigot?
no, the other difference is this is a plastic fermentation vessel with a spigot.
Which I personally don't like spigots.
No.
It gives another point of failure to me.
So my major problem with spigots is that a lot of the gaskets are some form of rubber, and we're fermenting something that is acidic. Acid and rubber don't mix long term. I can't tell you how many horror stories I've heard of where people were brewing in a bucket with a spigot and weren't watching it, and one day they came home to a leak.
And the leak was significant.
In some cases, yeah, real significant. In some cases, just a puddle, but it's.
Nonetheless, it's compromised and it's not cool, man.
Yeah, no, this is not great. So
Okay. Now, I'm not, again, if you want a spigot, get a spigot. We don't like
yeah, no,
them.
but
This is a, you said, an $80 kit? Yeah,
yes,
$80 kit.
it's $80 whether you want the glass or the plastic. The plastic one, you get a bottling wand instead of the spigot, or instead of the glass for
Yeah.
the fermentation vessel. Fermentation.
But he doesn't have a racking cane or
Nope.
in this one.
Well, the put the hose on the spigot and fill with that.
Okay, but he doesn't have
Autosiphon?
the siphon. Thank you.
Yeah, you put the hose on the racking cane, you don't need an
Okay.
autosiphon. You and I both know that siphon, the spigot, won't get all the mead out of that container, even if you're tilting it and
Yeah.
totally disturbing your yeast bed. But
Yeah, but I
either way.
give me my cane and no spigot. I'm
Yeah.
happier.
Yeah. It's I guess $80 is a better price point than $90, but it's either way, this feels like it's a little, there's a premium attached to
There's
this.
premium touch, and that, and it says Golden High Mead right on the bottle, so I looked up a couple, and I just kind of cut out the middleman a little bit. I looked on Amazon. Because I don't know how much better the prices are, but you see several competitors at the same time, is what I did. Now they have one. It's called the Deluxe Mead Making Kit, $62. It has the racking cane, it has the test tube, it has a glass 1 gallon jug, the stopper and airlock and a funnel and a your one step
It's a cleaner sanitizer together. It's.
which I don't agree with either.
I don't. Yeah, those are two different jobs and require two different products in my mind. But, you know,
It's, it
some
does
people like the convenience of it.
it does have a hydrometer, it has tubing.
And hey, if you're a first-time mead maker, you don't have to clean biofilm off of a used fermenter because you've not used it before.
Yeah. Every time after that, you do.
Yes.
Every time you have it, you do.
Yes.
Again, this was a $63, and I'm rounding up the penny,
Sure.
to a $63 kit, and again, no secondary vessel, no second thing to rack into. Which, if you want a clean meat product with as little sediment and a little yeast cake as you can get, you need a secondary vessel, some variety.
Now that's a pretty good deal, $62, all things considered. 63, sorry, 63.
Yeah.
I forgot to round. I did a little poking around and found one on Amazon for $49.95, $50, 50 on the nose. But we're having a lot of the same issues. You get a 1 gallon glass jug for your fermenter. You get an airlock. The little this is the little two bubble kind, as opposed to the three
The S
piece.
lock.
You
Nope.
get
No matter
a.
which airlock you get, guys, we use them both. Run with it.
It's a matter of personal preference. Neither works better than the other. It's just what you like looking at. You get some one-step cleanser, non-branded. You get a spiced melody, which orange, cardamom, coriander, sweet orange peel. It's in the neighborhood of a Joe's Ancient Orange,
Yeah.
it sounds like. You get a single pack of B47, which is a good yeast for a beginner meat maker.
Love D47. Nothing wrong. I can say nothing wrong about it.
Firm-fed yeast nutrient. I'm not familiar with that variety, but it's a yeast nutrient. Probably good. But all you get as far as other stuff is a bit of hose
Bit of hose with a clip.
and a funnel. You don't even get a basic racking cane with this setup, let alone the autosiphon. Again, we're missing a secondary. You could start making a mead with this, but I mean, man, you're taking steps or you're getting extra stuff later.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. Now, they also offer a 1 gallon deluxe kit, which same stuff as before. The fermenter with the airlock, funnel, some siphon tubing and a little clip, some yeast, some spices, but you also get a bottling wand and an autosiphon, which are great.
Once you've used an autosiphon and a bottling wand, you don't want to go back. I mean, if I lost my bottle wand before I bottle, I'm getting another one.
Exactly. And the other thing you get, which is apparently considered optional equipment to anyone but us, but you get a hydrometer and a test jar with this one too.
Yeah, I mean, for okay, guys, if you want to make mead, in a slapdash kind of way, do you need a bottling wand? Do you need a hydrometer? No. You don't, but if you want to make consistently good mead that you control, you know what the alcohol you're getting out and what you're getting in, and you want to make sure you're not over honeying it so the yeast works well, you need a hydrometer.
If you want to be able to repeat your ingredients in any kind of reasonable way, you got to be able to record what you did. And
And measure it.
gravity is just the easiest way to do that.
Yeah. We've said this many times, guys. This is not new information. What we're doing is, this is what they're offering, and we're sitting here, eh.
Now, Chris,
Yes.
they offer a starter kit for $50. They offer a deluxe kit for $80.
Okay.
What if I told you they also offer a master kit for $120? What does the master kit get us?
Well, I'm scared because I haven't been really impressed yet.
It's both basically the same stuff.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, I take that back. There's no bottling wand in this setup. You do get the autosiphon. You
But
get
no
some,
bottling wand.
right? You get some tubing. You get a funnel. You get the little clippy that stops it. You get a couple different kinds of yeast
Oh,
with this one.
you get the corn sugar.
Yes, because this is not just a mead kit. This is a mead cider seltzer kit.
Oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. So instead of giving you better equipment for me, they give you more things to do with a fermenter.
There's a level of logic here that once, you make a mead, maybe you're going to branch out.
And that's fair.
I'll give you
I don't mind branching out. That's fine. But I need my equipment. I need the racking cane. I need my stuff.
Hey guys, if you want to try stuff other than mead, I will tell you a very easy way to get some equipment real cheap. Go to your local like Whole Foods, Natural Grocer, whatever the
Equivalent is.
yeah, by you, get a 1 gallon glass bottle of apple cider,
Drink the apple cider.
or put yeast in it and put an airlock on it. You need a number six airlock, or I'm sorry, a number six bung to get into that lid.
With an airlock.
You're gonna need an airlock sooner or later anyway, and then you get a cider, or you can drink some of the cider in there, add some honey, and you've got a sizer for your first mead.
There you go.
It's
Again, you're lacking a level of control and record.
plus you're getting your equipment set piecemeal instead of like in a big kit.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but
There is something here on this one that we did not have on any other one on that list.
Yes, it's a hand capper, and it looks like about a dozen caps. I don't, have you ever used a hand capper?
Yes, I have.
They suck.
They suck. You don't like them.
They are really fantastic for breaking 10% of your bottles
Yeah.
at the cap.
And taking 3 to 4 times as long as if you're trying very hard not to break your bottles, which I did. I should have been able to cap this quickly. I could not.
The benchtop capper you can buy at Bock's and Barleycorn or any other homebrew store for maybe $15 to $20 more is very much an easier, more preferable way to do this. I swear on everything I hold dear. Ah, it Monster Bench Capper.
Is $54.
Well, it's gone up in price. I remember back in my day it was $35.
That was a bit ago, sir. You didn't have a child then. He's in seventh grade.
I did have a child. I bought one at Bock's and Barleycorn when I was working there before I quit.
Okay.
And because you're using these things, they do break.
Yeah. But they, the bottle capper they have Bacchus is now 30, $54.
So it is in the neighborhood of a little shy of $40 less than the basic bottle capper, the hand capper, but it is easy to use, it is clean, it is efficient, and you are not going to break bottles using it.
Yeah. And it's much easier to use. The hand cranker, you've got to balance it, center it, make sure it's right, and then move your hands and keep all that intact. It's hard. I didn't like it.
Well, and
Jeff actually gave me his. I've never used it.
that's a hand corker, not a hand capper.
Okay.
These are two different instruments. We can talk about the hand corker. I don't have nearly the beef with the hand corker as I do the
I thought
hand
you gave me
cap.
the capper I have at home because I have a cap, the hand capper at home, and I don't like it at all.
To Jackie, the owner of Bock's and Barleycorn, for the longest time, and his late wife Alberta's credit, they told me right away, don't get the hand capper, just buy the bench top. And so I
And
just did.
that's actually what Jake told me. So yeah. All right. Well, now you have that. Now you have that option. Now the one I looked up after that was called Jugger and Dash Mead Making Kit.
And this is on Amazon as well.
This is on Amazon as well. This is a $40 kit.
Okay, so lowest price we've seen so far.
Yeah, and you have a jug, you have a hose, you have the bung, you have the airlock, you have a funnel, and you have your yeast and other chemicals.
Looks
And
like you've
that
got a racking cane, but not an auto siphon.
it's a racking, not an auto siphon. And that's really it, guys. You don't have a hydrometer, you don't have a test tube, you don't have
Much of anything.
much of anything. I mean, two, three, four, and a recipe book. So other than the recipe book, you got three, four chemicals. I imagine a couple of maybe stabilizing. I'm not 100% on that.
Now, they do advertise. Call our US-based experts. We'll walk you through mead making.
So at least you can call somebody. But okay, looking here, it says that you have a package of yeast, a package of sanitizer, and three yeast nutrition packets labeled 1, 2, and 3. You have a tubing with clamp, a racking cane with cap. It's not a siphon, it's just the cane, a funnel. Really fun packaging is listed on the things they give you with this, what it all comes in. Three-piece auto lock, rubber stopper, glass carboy, and the mead manual. And that's it. It's $40. It says, if you don't want to know what you're making and just want to run by the seat of your pants, go for it. Here you go. Here you go. This is it.
I'm just looking up what else Jigger and Dash here offers. They've got a mead making kit. They've got a refill kit as far as like the yeast and supplies and stuff. Cool. They have a deluxe kit on their website. What does this include?
A hydrometer and test tube, test bottle.
And it looks like four flip-top bottles.
Well, how much is that one?
This is running $70.
70. Okay.
Looks like it's on sale. They say it's valued at 150.
Okay.
And let's see. Oh, you include they include a bottle brush. We've
So you can
never.
clean your bottles. That is the first bottle brush I've seen in any of the kits.
Right, exactly.
That's not a bad thing, guys. I
Still,
own 4 or 5 bottle brushes.
you will lose them, they will get dirty and need to go through the dishwasher or whatever. It's the kind of thing you accumulate,
Yeah.
yes.
I also have a tubing brush.
Yes, those are hard to use, but
They're,
sometimes you need them.
yeah, I hate using it, but yeah, there it is.
And it looks like they've got a little turkey pastry thing here and
That's for the
a.
thief. I love thieves. Jeff and I use a glass thief. I've seen the stainless steel as well. You put your thief in the mead, hold this top of it like you're holding a straw, top of a straw, pull it out, and he is a tube of mead to test for whatever reason.
You can use a turkey baster for this process. You
just sanitize it. Sanitize the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm. I like the glass because it's easy to clean and I can see when it's clean.
Yeah. There's a few ways you can do it, but I like stainless steel. I don't. Mine's glass, but stainless steel is fine because it has antibacterial properties, and that's cool with me. But that is Jigger Dash. Is it a bad kit? We're not saying any of these are bad kits.
No, I feel like this is a little bit more complete than we've seen otherwise. At the end of the day, the deluxe meat baking kit for $70 is not a bad deal, all things considered.
But
you're still going to want some stuff.
Yeah, and you're still going to want a secondary bottle.
You're going to want a secondary. You're going to want to upgrade to an auto siphon real soon.
Yeah, really fast. We could keep going. There's a lot of, and there's actually, what was that one you saw that actually did have a secondary?
Let me see.
It was a Northern Brewer? It was Northern Brewer, yeah.
So Northern Brewer has a small batch wine kit, not a meat kit, a wine kit.
Same stuff.
Mm-hmm. You get a primary. Let's see. This is a, get a glass jug, a little big mouth bubbler gas primary fermenter. The glass jug is for secondary.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. You could actually go either way, guys.
You really could. It doesn't really matter. Test jar and thief. Herculometer. What's a herculometer? Is that a hydrometer? Is it just weird?
Spell it.
H-E-R-C-U-L-O-M-E-T-E-R. It's got to be a hydrometer. There's not that much stuff.
Yeah, it's hydrometer.
Yeah. Okay. You get a plastic paddle for
mixing. It's a herculometer from Northern Brewer. It's rebranded name.
Oh, it's their proprietary hydrometer.
Yes, it's their proprietary hydrometer. Yes.
Okay.
It's hydrometer, guys.
Oxygen wash cleanser, sodium metabisulfite sanitizer. Just use... Well, they're giving you sanitizer. I guess that's good, but you should really just use some Star Sanner or some Iodopor, though. Sodium metabisulfite is kind of terrible to use.
Just Star Sand, guys. Just keep it simple. Star Sand is inexpensive and he does a great job.
Corker and corks, but they don't show what kind of corker you're getting. It's got to be
it's probably a hand corker.
It's got to be.
I used a hand corker once upon a time. It's fine for the first 10 to 15 bottles. Then my arms get tired really, really fast.
It is a great shoulder workout.
It really is. You want your traps looking great? Do it, man. This is a workout.
Getting the 30 bottles it takes in a 6-gallon batch.
Yeah. 35 or a 7-gallon? Yeah. Go right ahead. Get your reps in, guys. I have a floor mount.
You know, there is a Ferrari in my garage.
Yeah.
Because that's the company that makes my wine corker.
Okay, there you go. You're so impossible. All right, guys, you know, what we're trying to say is there's a lot of things you need to watch out for, a lot of things you need. I mean, I keep my mead when it's fermenting in a cool, low-light area. Not dark, low-light, because I want to see before I can get in the dark.
If you've got a closet with some floor space.
Or a corner of your basement, corner of your, corner, anywhere where it's cool and comfortable and not bright.
Right. Relatively dark or at least dimly lit,
you're fine. Mm-hmm. And if you know, if it's kind of bright in there, put up a blanket in front of it and just let it be. It's fine. It's not a huge thing.
If it's kind of bright, you can also just throw a t-shirt over your fermenter as long as there's a spot for the airlock to kind of stick out.
Yeah, that's what they got the neck hole for. But I mean, there's things you need a secondary vessel for racking to keep it, have a clean, smooth product. It makes it so much easier in trying to filter it later like I do. I've done it the wrong way a couple of times. It really is bad and expensive. Going through 5, 6, 8, 10 sets of filters is a lot.
You make that mistake once.
Yeah, and I went to that one once. Simply having something to rack into to take that yeast cake off the bottom, clean, sanitize, let the oven dry, you can rack it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing. It really is. You need the hydrometer if you're going to use consistent meads.
Again, a lot of these places seem to think that hydrometer is optional, and it's not.
It really
is. Not my way of thinking. You really need to be able to keep track of the gravity of your mead as you're not only when you start and when you end, but I like to take a read once in a while as a how is it going? And you can definitely upgrade the hydrometer. I've got those tilt hydrometers right now. In fact, there's one sitting in the Key Lime Pie mead right next to us here. And I'm going to pull up the app on my phone. Hey, I just checked the gravity.
Hey, 1.0424, 243 now. 1.023 now. Oh, no, it's back and forth.
It'll figure itself out. And it's also got a temperature.
74 degrees.
If I were a little bit more ambitious, I have a Raspberry Pi Zero around here somewhere that I got rigged to do like the little chart with the little graph line that shows like, hey, how quickly did it ferment?
And that's awesome. You know, this app based, you know, hydrometer thing here, awesome. Actually, I know a guy in Wichita who makes commercial mead. He just throws one in each of his batches.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, and he just goes on. Oh, this one's doing this. That's how he measures. It's great stuff. For me, I don't have one because I'm not doing that much. And Jeff is a techie guy more than me.
Well, and there's a lot where I don't want to compromise. If the app made me like track and send the company my data on like how often I'm fermenting and what I'm fermenting and blah, 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 I would probably tell them to go shut it.
Yeah.
But this is as low tech and easygoing as it possibly can be. I'm all right with that.
Well, you know, and be honest, guys, I'm not saying I won't get one. I like tech. I'm not very good at it.
Well, and I didn't have to fill a sample jar. I didn't have to risk infection.
It's still contained. And yeah, and that has a lot of merit right there. All right. Now, here's where we're going. Now, you guys know you just this last weekend, is Box of Barley that good was basic question. Is it really where I should go? And this is why. We're going to their beginner mead making kit option. You get a 2 gallon bucket with a lid. You get a 1 gallon glass jug for secondary. This is for making a single gallon. They give you a 2 gallon bucket, because that's the smallest bucket they have.
Right.
And a 1 gallon glass jug.
You got to have something to put it into so you get the trouble and stuff off, like Chris was just talking about.
Yeah. They have the stopper, the airlock, the mini siphon with tubing, bottle wand, the mesh 15 by 15 mesh bag if you're adding fruit.
Or spices or anything.
Or spices or anything, so you can take it out easily and cleanly. Right. Star sand, an 8 ounce pack of star sand.
That's not a small amount of star sand.
That's a lot. I mean, guys, 8 ounces is a cup. A measuring cup in your kitchen is 8 ounces. That is a lot of star sand. You're going to use it by 6 milliliters per gallon of water.
Yeah. Get a little, the
baby.
The syringe thing you get from the pharmacy.
Yeah, to give baby medicine. Just ask for it. They'll give it to you. No, no charge, no muss, no fuss.
And 6 milliliters into 1 gallon of distilled water. And then put that in a heavy duty spray bottle from Home Depot. Just spitz. Sanitizing is basically covered.
Yeah, and you're good to go. 8 ounces of star sand is a lot. They have a triple scale hydrometer with the sample jar.
Yes.
And the 5-inch funnel. That is just the equipment. That is $69.
That is $70.
Sorry, $70.
So there are definitely cheaper versions with less stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are also, you know, let's go back to, for example, Golden Hive that we started with. $90.
$90.
There's more stuff here for $20 less. And looking at, you know,
there's more stuff, boxes of barley corn for $20 less than the stuff they have at Golden Hive.
Looking at Northern Brewers Kit, you know, it's a lot more comparable, I think.
Yeah.
Is there cork stuff? No.
No.
But you get the siphon tube, you get the is there a bottling wand in Box of Barley Corn?
Yes, there's a bottling wand right here.
Bottling wand, you get the...
You have a mixing paddle there, we don't have it over here. But do you have a stainless steel spoon you can spray star sand on and go mixy-mixy? You're fine.
Or a plastic one.
Or a plastic one, mixy-mixy. Or even silicone, mixy-mixy. Fine.
Not that hard.
Now, I'm going to bring this up right now because it's important. I want you to remember this number as you're listening to our show right now. The cost of the Northern Brewer Wine kit, basic small batch winemaking starter kit, $135.
Now, the only thing that I will say in defense of their price, they are also including the ingredients for a single gallon of wine. And you get to pick whether you want like Cab Sav, Chardonnay, Merlot, whatever.
Yeah, and that's fine, but remember that price. That even is getting your starting wine.
Devil's advocate, let's just check what they charge for the 1 gallon wine kits. They charge $60.
$60 for a wine kit.
So 75-ish.
Yeah.
For everything that is not included, 75-ish for just the equipment, the ingredients.
Not the ingredients. Okay. Now, Box of Barley Corn has on their site here a little down cursor arrow that says, do I want equipment and ingredients? One down. This is a $95 kit, which includes everything I mentioned before, and 56 ounces of Cooper's Raw Honey, 25 Camden tablets for racking, 1 ounce of potassium sorbate for back sweetening, 1 ounce of pouch of wine yeast, a pouch of yeast nutrient, and instructions how to conduct the fermentation, a recipe.
this is the ingredient kit that a lot of the more expensive ones that we saw previously are trying to serve our way. For example, the one we found on Amazon, the deluxe kit, for $80.
Yeah.
But again, we're short a lot of equipment.
But this was 95. Okay, we saw one that we went over earlier that had bottling.
Yes.
Wasn't nor it wasn't Northern Brewer.
No, it was the one we found on Amazon actually has bottle caps.
There was one with bottles, I thought we saw.
Yes, was that? Yeah, it was the Jigger and Dash
Jigger
guys.
and Dash guys.
Their deluxe mead baking kit for $70 includes four swing top bottles.
Yeah. These are the bottles you can just use. They're self-sealing. They snap down there. They're
Right.
cool. Okay, if you want bottles with this entire kit of Bock's and Barleycorn, when they give you bottles, you get eight flip-top bottles. They are like 16, 20-ounce
I
range.
think they're 16. It's been a minute.
But,
I've got some of them sitting around here. I just can't be bothered to dig them out of
yeah,
the heat.
we have to find them and dig them out. And we don't want to right now. But if you get
I'm
eight
drinking
flip-top bottles,
water.
they're not full-size wine bottles like in Jigger and Dash.
I don't know that these are
They
either.
look like full-size bottles in the picture.
I don't think they are. These look like the 500 milliliter swing tops you get at IKEA.
Okay, fine. That could be that.
Let's see if they tell us.
Now, what was the number I told you to remember about the cost of that one mead making kit? The really was 135. For 120, get everything I mentioned at Bock's and Barleycorn, and a phone number, and help, and what do you need? Guys, they are as comparable as anybody out there, and they actually want to help.
As I've said multiple times before, when I'm giving these guys props, they understand that there is competition in the marketplace. Their prices are already competitive. Hey, Chris, what's our promo code?
Didn't say that earlier, did it? Did
No, you
I?
didn't.
MHP10. Make an order, get yourself 10% off. Go in, say, listen to me, tell us it's an MHP10. Maybe he'll give it to you there.
Pretty sure they will. I'm
Pretty.
pretty sure it's the same. Their cash register is using the same Shopify account as their website. So,
But there you go. They're 16-ounce bottles. I looked up on Bock's Barleycorn's site, and they're 16-ounce bottles. That is just over half a wine bottle size. So you're getting a little more than a four bottles of wine in the clear flip-top bottles in your order for $120, which includes absolutely everything you need, including the honey. All you need to add to this entire thing is water, spring water, and you got it.
Yeah, no, they did include Cooper's Honey with that. That's right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
good for us, Cooper's Honey. It was all there. There you go, guys. I mean, when we say we really do believe in Bacchus, we really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. Are you doing this because they're sponsoring you?
Well, they.
Partially. We announce them so much because they are sponsoring us, because that's the deal. If they were not sponsoring us, would we still call them out? Yeah, we still would, because we still like them.
Would I still shop there? Yeah.
Heck yeah. Because we were shopping there before we did this, guys, and it still applies. But everything from $69 to $120, just the equipment, the equipments and ingredients, and if you want to go just a little bit more, bottles to put them
And
in.
moreover, you look at the equipment list, you look at the stuff that we use on the day to day, there's not a lot of extra stuff that I see myself going, you know, I should have bought this. I should have gotten that. I wish I had gotten an auto siphon instead of just the racking cane, you know? And that, I think, is the loss that we're getting with some of these other lower priced
Yeah.
kits. It's just, it's not as complete as it could be. You're going to find yourself going, okay, well, I got a good deal, I guess, but now I got to go buy a racking cane and I need, you know, a bottling wand. And oh God, what am I going to
A
bottle this
thief,
into? Right.
and it just goes on, guys. I mean, honestly, more me for than for Jeff. Bock's and Barleycorn's local. We like them. They won me over really early before this ever started. He goes, "Hey, how you doing with this?" "Well, I'm doing this." "Well, how?" And then they look at me like, "Okay, how are you doing this?" Because they want to get more information even for themselves. This is not just, "Oh, we're going to tell you what to do." Da, 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 da. They are learning too, and they're good with it. And they've actually looked. You want to do that? Okay. Well, good luck. They didn't discourage me per se, but that was when I was using Hazy Lemon.
Yeah.
Because they said most of the people that use the Hazy Lemon, they get a pledge-like flavor, pledge clear flavor. But I brought mine in. They said, "Here, try this." And they go, "That's really good." I said, "It's a lemon ginger I made from the Hazy Lemon." They go, "Dude, witchcraft." And yeah.
Just got to tweak your process a little bit, and you don't have that
Yeah.
lemon pledge smell.
We've gone quite a bit here and I'm probably gonna wrap it up for you. But guys, if you're going to get a meat kit, and we encourage Box and Barnacle, of course, but make sure you get everything you need, because
Absolutely.
on the list for Box and Barnacle, there's nothing on here that I personally would add that you
Right.
absolutely need.
There,
Jeff?
no, and let's go through the list real quick. There's two fermenters. Almost none of the kits we looked at have two. The Northern Brewer kit is the only exception for that one. You need something else, even if it's just an extra, gallon glass or
Carboy, yeah,
whatever.
whatever. Guess Joe.
The bottle filling wand, a lot of them didn't have it. I
Yeah.
think that's really helpful,
The
but
bottle
you don't
is,
absolutely need
you
it,
don't
I
need it. You can
guess.
just pinch off the hose and, hope your fingers strike glass.
Kind of the same way with the auto siphon. You don't need the auto siphon. You can get by with a rack and cane, but then you're stuck starting a siphon
You're
and
sucking on a siphon to get it started. And that goes with a racking cane, too. If it's just a racking cane and not a siphon, you got to start it somehow.
right.
Guys.
And that's just another vector for,
Contamination.
right, it's not fun. I don't like it.
The mesh, nobody's ever in all the ones I looked at, nobody offered a mesh bag.
No. And
Do you need it? No, you don't. If you're gonna have flavors, yes, you do.
are you going to have like six of them by the time you get into this as a big hobby? Yeah. You're not going to necessarily do that with your
I'd
first
have to
batch.
throw out 2/3 of my equipment, my bags to have six. I've got all the sizes, but
Star Sand. Everybody else, if they had a sanitizing agent, it was like one step or the sodium metabisulfite, the stinky stuff.
yeah.
Star Sand. The 8 ounces of Star Sand,
It's a huge amount.
that'll make gallons of Star Sand
Gallon, I mean, a
solution.
lot. We're
And
not even joking about that.
the other advantage here to Star Sand as opposed to like the sodium metabisulfite is the shelf life of it. Like the sodium metabisulfite, if you keep it in a sealed container, will last you a couple months, maybe. See the Star Sand?
I've still got it from last year. It's still good.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on it, but
Now, if it looks off, I'll pitch it, but I'm losing 6 milliliters if I pitch an entire gallon.
I regularly assume that my mixed Star Sand is going to last about 6 months.
But
And if you're making a gallon at a time, 8 ounces of Star Sand is going to.
the only reason I replaced my 8 ounce original bottle I got, I lost it. So I had to get another one. That's the only reason I replaced it. I found it later. Still good. But there you go. Like you get the funnel, you get all the hydrometer, the sample jar. And that's just the equipment, guys.
Right.
There's not a thing you need to add in that equipment list. Not a thing. If you want to go to the next level and go up to the $95 level, when you get your honey, your Camden tablets, potassium sorbate, your wine yeast, your yeast nutrient, and all in your instruction book, go for it.
Yeah, that's all of that is very useful. And this none of that is stuff that I would say, oh, you don't need that. You don't need stabilizer. You don't need blah 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 blah.
Yeah, you
You
do. You
kind of
really
need that.
do.
You need that.
And then bottles. Enough bottles to rack a gallon of meat. All this, guys.
Right. And again, it's an arm
There's
workout,
just the flip
but
top, the seal is connected to the bottle.
And it is, that's the way I bottled my first batch of mead, was just those little flip tops
I wish I would have thought of it. I went full cork and drove my shoulders to ruin.
to.
Anyway, guys, but this is why we recommend Box and Barleycorn.
Right.
All the equipment, all the quality, all the help, and good prices. I know this turned into a giant commercial for this. I don't mind it. I'm not ashamed of it, though.
I am not the least bit chagrined to find out that, oh yeah, no, the people that we've been advertising for the better part of a year and a half, over a year and a half at this point, are kind of offering the best thing that we can find on the internet.
Yeah. There you go, guys. Thank you for coming with us today, Jeff. Thanks for having me over.
Chris, cheers, buddy.
Happy meeting everybody.